Heavenly Father, as we take time in your word, Lord, we do pray that you would be at work on our hearts, Lord, helping us to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, we bring different thoughts, feelings, situations this morning, and we ask, Lord, that you would be giving us wisdom, understanding, and Lord, help us to see Christ this morning. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I want to add my welcome to that of Andrew's. If you're here for the first time, or if you're here for the first time in a while, delighted that you're here. Or if you're a regular here among us, very glad that you're here this morning. My name is Peter. I'm the assistant pastor here. We've been looking at the life of Solomon, and we're continuing this morning in the life of Solomon in the book of 1 Kings, or 1 Kings, and chapter 3. So I encourage you to keep it open, as Lucinda had read it for us on page 338 of the Red Church Bible, if you're using that. So, hands up if you've ever been lost. Wow, okay, that's really encouraging. It's kind of scary, isn't it, when we're lost? When we get lost, it can be a little bit overwhelming, not knowing how we got there, and not knowing what to do next, what is the right way to turn, or so on. And that can be an overwhelming experience when it's that we're lost geographically. It can be overwhelming when we feel lost in other ways. Lost in our job, lost in our school, not knowing what the right way to turn is in a friendship or a relationship. It can be a little bit overwhelming to feel that and wonder how to cope. It's striking as we think about Solomon, this great king of Israel, that he feels a little bit like that. He feels a little bit lost as he begins to rule over the people of God. If you look in verse 7 of chapter 3, Solomon is speaking to God and he says, "I am only a little child. I don't know how to carry out my duties." Isn't that amazing that Solomon, this great king, feels like a child in the face of what he has to do? For Solomon, in order for him to understand his situation, to find himself in it, there are a number of things that he will need to find. It's like that sometimes, isn't it? When we need to find where we are, there's something else that we might need to find first. If you need to locate where you are, find your phone, take out Google Maps, or find a grown-up. Or, better again, find a grown-up with Google Maps, and you'll be able to find yourself. Solomon, there's a few things that Solomon needs to find, and that we can find as well when we feel lost. So there's three things: to find your voice, to find your place, and to find your king. So find your voice, find your place, find your king. So we're going to think, first of all, about finding your voice. Isn't it amazing? God invites Solomon to speak to him. In verse 5, God appears to Solomon and he says, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Isn't that a breathtaking thing? The God of all creation appears to Solomon and says, "Ask whatever you want me to give you." Where would you start with this apparently blank canvas that God gives to Solomon? What would you say? What would you ask for? Well, interestingly, Solomon begins with God. In verse 6, Solomon says, he answers, "You've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day." Solomon says to God, "You love me, God. We have history together, God. I have known your kindness, your faithfulness in the past, God. It's a good thing for us to do, to begin our prayers with God, with his kindness, with his faithfulness, to be specific about how he has been kind and faithful to us, to you, when we come to God in prayer. Now, sometimes we can't begin there. We feel so overwhelmed that all we can do is cry out to God, Lord, help me. But if we can manage it, if we can start with God and his kindness, his faithfulness, it is a good place to start, because sometimes we lose sight of that wherever we find ourselves. So Solomon starts with God, and then he does ask for something. He asks for wisdom and understanding in verse 9. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Solomon has found himself as king. He has not forced himself into this situation. He has not asked to be king. God has given him this responsibility, given him this role. And now that Solomon finds himself there, he realizes the weightiness of what he has been given to do. He has a responsibility to care for others. He has a responsibility to judge others. And it's a judgment in a positive sense. Solomon wants to know in verse 9 to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. He knows that he is going to be making decisions that are going to have an impact on other people. And we'll see that in the second half of the chapter in a couple of weeks' time. So Solomon realizes he needs wisdom to discern what is right and wrong. And he realizes that the number of people under his care is huge, it's vast. In verse 8, he says, you have chosen a great people too numerous to count or number. He can't even count them. And he's been called to rule over them. And understandably, he feels overwhelmed. He wonders, how is he possibly going to do this? He feels inadequate. He feels like a little child. Sometimes I sing quietly to myself the first song in the movie The Lion King. There's a couple of lines in that song. There's far too much to take in here. More to do than can ever be done. Now, as that song is sung in the movie The Lion King, it's this sense of awe and wonder at the creation. Sometimes I sing it to myself and I say, there's far too much to do here. More to do than can ever be done. Do you ever feel like that on a Monday morning as you look at the list of to-dos for the week? Feel inadequate? Feel overwhelmed by what you've been called to do? Isn't it an encouragement that Solomon feels like this? This is the man who wrote big chunks of the Bible, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and he says, I feel like a little child, God. I need your wisdom. He asks for a discerning heart. What is that? Well, we see in verse 3 that Solomon loves the Lord. He loves walking according to God's law. What he needs now is the wisdom to know, how does he walk according to God's law in this situation that he finds himself in? He needs the wisdom to know, not just right and wrong, black and white. He needs the wisdom to know in those gray areas of life, where it isn't obvious what the right thing to do is. What should I do? That's what he asks God for, the ability to live in his world according to his word. And as he does that, as he finds his voice, reminds himself and God of God's kindness and faithfulness and asks for this wisdom, he starts to find himself. He starts to be able to cope a little bit better, because God gives understanding in verse 10. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you've asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart. God gives Solomon the wisdom that he asks for. And the wonderful thing is that this is open to us this morning. This is an open invitation to us this morning, because we think later on in our Bibles, in the New Testament, in the letter of James, what does he say to people? He says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So we can follow Solomon's example in asking for wisdom, asking for discernment, to know how to live according to God's word in the world that he has put us in, with the responsibilities that he has put on our shoulders. Now, that's not all that Solomon gets. God goes on in verse 13, moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor. And in verse 14, if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. In other words, if you live according to my law in this world, I will bless you with a long life. Now, is that something we should be asking for? We can ask for wisdom. Should we be asking for riches and honor and long life? Should we follow Solomon's example here? But we need to see that what God commends Solomon for is the fact that he did not ask for these things, that they were not a priority in Solomon's life. Solomon is commended for not asking for these things. And so God blesses Solomon with these things, but that is not a guarantee for all believers. In fact, we think of our Savior Jesus, who did not have a place to rest his head, who lived in poverty. So in Solomon's case, yes, he has wealth and riches and honor. We don't follow an example in that and asking for that, but we ask for wisdom. And God gives generously to those who ask for wisdom. Wisdom to know how to do what God has called us to do, to care for the people that we are responsible for. For some, it is being parents. And it isn't being parents of an innumerable number of children, the way Solomon was the king of an innumerable number of people. It might just be being a parent of one is enough to make us feel overwhelmed. For some, it is the responsibility to care for others in work, as a manager, as a healthcare professional. We can feel overwhelmed, like Solomon, when we realize that the decisions that we are going to make will have a lasting impact on those in our lives. We can feel inadequate to that. So what do we do? Well, we join with Solomon in saying, I don't know how to carry out the duties that you've given me to do. I don't know how to parent. I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know how to forgive this person, God, but I need your wisdom. I need you to help me to live according to your word in this world. So if we're feeling overwhelmed, feeling lost, the first thing to do is to find our voice, to ask God for what we need. The second thing to find is your place. So find your place. Solomon is this great king of Israel, and yet he knows his place. What do I mean by that? Well, he knows who he serves. We see that in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Look how Solomon refers to himself in verse 6. You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David. So Solomon sees David as a servant of God. Verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. So he thinks of himself as a servant of God. In verse 8, he says, your servant is here among the people. Verse 9, he says, give your servant a discerning heart. Solomon realizes that he has been put in that place in order to serve God, to serve this good, faithful, kind, loving God. That he is ultimately answerable to God. He's not the people's servant, first and foremost. He is God's servant. So he knows who he serves, and he knows who the people belong to. In verse 8, he says, "Your servant is here among the people you have chosen." In verse 9, he says, "Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Solomon has been given the role of ruling over these people, but he knows that they are not ultimately his people. They are God's people. So he recognizes who he serves, and he recognizes who the people belong to. And what we see here is that these great kings like Solomon were at their greatest when they realized that they weren't that great, that they were not God, and that they too had a place in God's world. It's amazing. There is a psalm of David, Solomon's dad. Now, this is a great king of Israel, and the psalm goes like this: "I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother." Solomon and his father David both recognized, yes, they had responsibility, but there were some things that were not their responsibility. He was God's servant, and these were God's people. Now, some of us have a measure of responsibility for others: managers, cleaners, drivers, nurses, doctors, advocates. And we can feel lost sometimes, overwhelmed sometimes with what God has given us to do. But sometimes the reason we feel lost and overwhelmed is because we are taking on more responsibility than is ours. We are falling into the wrong thinking that we are somehow the ones who are going to make this work. That we are somehow the ones who are playing God's part in this situation. So hands up if you're the king of Israel. Okay, one or two. Most of us aren't. And sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking that we are in the responsibilities that we take on. Or worse, we fall into the trap of thinking that we are the ones who carry God's responsibilities. Sometimes we act as if we are. So we need to find our place, to realize we're not the king, to realize that God doesn't need a backseat driver telling him what way our lives should go, where we should stop, when we should go. We're going for a job interview, we can feel overwhelmed and lost just by virtue of the amount of preparation that is needed. What if I say something wrong? What if I don't know the answer to the question? My whole future hinges on this. Of course it feels overwhelming. What do you need to recognize in that situation? Well, your primary role there is to serve God. To honor him in how you answer the questions, to seek the fruit of his spirit as you go in there, to be loving and kind and patient. What else do you need to do? You need to recognize that you cannot give yourself that job. That is not your responsibility. That is the responsibility of the people in front of you, and ultimately it is God's responsibility whether he opens that door or closes it. What does it do when we realize our place? It helps us to not feel so lost, to not feel so overwhelmed. As parents, to realize that actually we are God's servants in how we parent our children. That we serve this kind, loving, faithful God who gives wisdom to those who ask. And that, yes, these are our children, But ultimately, they are God's creatures. He has knit them together. And so we find our place, and as we do, it helps us to not feel quite so lost, quite so overwhelmed. So find your voice, find your place. Lastly, find your king. So the first people reading this historical account, this history, they were lost. So they're reading about King Solomon, they're reading about Jerusalem, they're reading about the temple, but they were not in Jerusalem, they were not at the temple, they were not in the land of Israel, they were in Babylon, they were in exile. The first people reading this were reading about events that had happened in the past, and they were feeling totally lost. Not where they wanted to be. And they're wondering, how on earth did this happen? How did we get here? How do we get out of here? And the author of this letter, or this book, wants the people to recognize how they got to where they got to. And he highlights a couple of cracks that end up crumbling Solomon's kingdom. The first crack that he highlights is in verse 1, a marriage alliance. Solomon made a marriage, or an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. What's so wrong with that? Well, it's not that she was from a different country, absolutely not. In the kingdom of God, we have every tribe and tongue and nation. Isn't that wonderful? Now, the problem is that she had a different God. I mean, how can you not hear about Pharaoh and think about the fact that he was worshiping different gods? That is what you hear about when you think Pharaoh in the Old Testament. And so this marriage alliance that Solomon makes with his daughter, at best, it is a tool of diplomacy to strengthen international relationships. That's really giving him the benefit of the doubt. But at worst, it is an unfaithfulness to God. It is a betrayal of God. And this is one of the things that would lead to Solomon's kingdom's downfall. He would marry and marry and marry those who did not worship the God of Israel, the God of the Bible. The author wants the people in exile to realize why the kingdom fell apart. The second crack that he highlights is these places called simply the high places in verse 2. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Verse 3, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. So what were the high places? Well, at this time, prior to the temple being built, they were an acceptable place to worship the one true God. So if you went there to worship the one true God, that was okay. But what God would do as the book goes on is to, he would ask the kings to get rid of these high places. He would say to them, you come to Jerusalem to worship me. That is how it's going to work in the Old Testament. God wants his people to worship him the way he asks them to worship, not the way they decide, not the way they choose. And as the book progresses, what we see is nearly every king fails in this area. The way in which they relate to these high places and their seriousness about whether to remove them or not results in their downfall. So the author wants the people who are in exile to see these two cracks in Solomon's kingdom that are there from the very start, that will eventually grow and grow and grow until the whole thing crumbles. And as you're in this other place in Babylon, not where you want to be, you're looking back and you're thinking, oh, if only in verse 3 it had read like this, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, full stop. But it doesn't. There's an except. And with the kings in the book of Kings, there's always going to be an except. And as one of the people listening to this, you're thinking, it would have been so different for us if the kings had not compromised on this. We would not have been here if Solomon had not made this exception. So the author wants the people to realize how they got there, but he also wants them to realize that God is still God. Even where they are, God is still God. Even far from Jerusalem, far from the king ruling over them, God is still God. He still invites his people to pray. He is still faithful and kind. He still provides wisdom. He is still loving wherever you find yourself. Because these flawed men like David and Solomon, they are gone, but God is not. God is still there with you. And it would please God to send a greater king than Solomon ever was, King Jesus. And you know what? When King Jesus comes along, there is no exceptions. King Jesus showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, full stop. No exceptions. And because there's no exceptions in the life of Jesus, that he loved God perfectly, that he loved people perfectly, that has an impact on who we are. That as we feel overwhelmed, as we feel lost, what do we realize? That Jesus has come to find us. And if we find him in the middle of that lostness, it means that wherever we are, whatever job we're in, whatever school we're in, whatever friendship or relationship we're in, we know that he is with us. So where do we find Jesus? Well, we find him in the place that he always is. We find him on the throne. He is seated at the right hand of God. And even though we do not know everything, even though we do not have the wisdom that we need at times, even as we ask for that and yet realize our limitations, what do we know? Jesus, the one who is fully wise, who is seated on the throne, is governing my life, is in control of my life right now. So when we feel that sense of being overwhelmed, feel that sense of being lost, find your voice. Ask God for the wisdom you need. Find your place. Don't take on more than is yours to do. But more than anything, find Jesus, seated on the throne, faithful, kind, loving you today, this week. Let's pray. Father, for some of us, we know this. We know that you're faithful. We know that you're kind. We know that you give wisdom. We know that Jesus is seated on the throne. Lord, help us to act accordingly this week. Forgive us for when we don't live according to what we have heard. Give us the wisdom to live according to your word in the week ahead. The wisdom to know that Jesus is on the throne. Amen.